Thank you so much. Hello. Look, this is a tremendously exciting time to be alive. And for those of us who have thought about regulation for a while, the mere fact that we can get a room like this tonight by including the word regulation in the title of the event is extraordinary. Sorry, Stephen. But it is an extraordinary, amazing time to be alive because some of the brightest minds in the world have been thinking about this. And it is very hard. We don't have the answers yet. We're just at the very, very, very beginning of this journey. But what's exciting about these days is that we're seeing the first sort of steps in the real world. We've had the publication of the UK's response, which is amazing to see. And the EU AI Act is approaching and ready for prime time itself. And it is my job today to take you on a journey through the continent and tell you a little bit about the EU AI Act and the points of intersection with the UK's approach. The EU AI Act classifies AI systems according to risk. Now, we have minimal risk AI systems, which the EU claims are the majority of AI applications that are currently available in the single market, such as AI-enabled video games and spam filters, and they are free to function as they are in the Union, so we don't need to worry about those. Then we have limited risk AI systems. And here the example that was initially given was chatbots, but that was updated to basically say it will not apply to ChatGPT and others like it, which now fall under another sort of little bit that was added to the act. They're subject to lighter transparency obligations. So basically developers and deployers must ensure that end users are aware that they're interacting with AI. If you ever look at the EU AI Act, the vast, vast, vast majority of the text is about high-risk AI systems. There's an awful lot of detail on how these systems, how a system might be classified as high risk, and also once that system is classified as high risk, what AI providers must do. Look, I won't go through the list of what they're gonna do, but you can find it. It is quite long. And finally, there are unacceptable risk AI systems, such as social scoring systems, which are just prohibited from the Union altogether. This is my quickest introduction that I can give you to what is ultimately what a close to 800-page document. I want you to think a little bit about the fact that, you know, you might hear some buzzwords, and some of you would have heard them by now, that describe the European approach to AI regulation. One of them is that it is rules-based. So there are new rules which establish obligations for providers and users depending on the level of risk. The other one is the fact that it introduces new legislation. And with the new legislation, it also introduces heavy penalties. So non-compliance with the rules will lead to fines ranging from 7.5 million or 1.5% of global turnover to 35 million or 7% of global turnover, depending on the infringement and the size of the company. Now, keep in mind that for a company like Google or Microsoft, 7% of global turnover can actually be in the billions. So that's quite a hefty fine. And also, you'll hear about horizontal legislation. And horizontal legislation basically means that it applies all across all the AI systems placed or used within the EU. Now, of course, initially, when the EU was working on this and the UK was working on their approach, it made it seem like there were diametrically opposed approaches to AI regulation. So to EU's rules-based approach, we have the UK's principles-based approach, and we've already heard about the five core principles that underpin the UK's approach to AI regulation. There's no new legislation introduced in the UK, and also the country is going for what we call a vertical approach, where we're relying on the expertise of existing regulators and their deep sectoral knowledge to tailor the implementation of the principles to the specific context where the AI system is used. Now, I want to challenge that a little bit because however different these two approaches seem, I do think that there are points of overlap and intersection. And as time goes on and we hear more about those approaches, I think they're converging a little bit more towards something that is common. So if you look at the first two columns, the rules-based and the principles-based, there's actually a common denominator behind these two, which is that both approaches are risk-based, and the level of risk is actually sort of the sliding scale that determines the extent to which the provisions apply. When we're looking at new legislation in the EU and no legislation in the UK, the UK is actually signaling in its documents that legislation might follow. And what the government's white paper says is we will not put these principles on a statutory footing initially. So that does not mean the legislation will not come in this country. And finally, this is something that we guessed from the very beginning would happen. A horizontal approach misses out on the sectoral nuances, and the sectoral approach misses out on the coordination mechanisms of a centralized approach. And so actually, the EU now, despite it going for a horizontal approach, does have some sectoral guidance in the EU AI Act. And the UK, despite going for a sectoral approach, is building a centralized function to bring all of this together. The other sort of large point of intersection is standards. And I think this matters an awful lot because for the implementation of both approaches, both the EU and the UK approach relies quite heavily on standards. Now, regardless of what your views are of the UK and the EU and what their relationship should be, this does give me an awful lot of promise. Because ultimately, AI governance and regulation is an area that is in desperate need of international cooperation. And AI development and advancement are global issues. And if countries follow their own path when it comes to AI governance and regulation, not only will this lead to a fragmented and inefficient market, but it also fail to prevent current and future harms linked to AI innovation. And our next speaker will actually tell you about how, not just how the EU and the UK come together and overlap on some of those issues, but how the world can come together to address these. Thank you so much.